Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now. The pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be bright.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you do have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you're welcome to call them in either at area code 646-716-4893, or if you're feeling a little radio shy, please feel free to email me. My email address is bonkay@aol.com, bonkaye@aol.com. Before I introduce my special guest for this evening, I just wanted to make a couple of fast announcements. And the first announcement I'd like to make is my upcoming Healing Weekend, which is going to be in April 23rd and 24th. You'll hear me talking a lot about it in the upcoming months because it's a wonderful event to go to if you're anywhere in the area or away from the area and want to make a trip and spend time meeting some wonderful, wonderful women who can really help you move back into a better place than you're in right now as you're on your road to recovery. Or as I call it, gay husband recovery, which is a long process. It's not something that happens and you just get over. And the more support you get, the more what I call our straight sisters that you meet and can support you through the way, it's the most validating experience that you can invest in for yourself. So if you would like to join me, we have some wonderful speakers that are lining up and some wonderful women who are committed to coming to this. So please let me know. You can write to me at bonkaye@aol.com. Just put Healing Weekend in the top topic, and I'll be happy to send you information as we keep progressing. But it's April 23rd and 24th, and it's going to be right outside Washington, D.C. in Dulles, Virginia. And the other thing I wanted to mention to you is I always have wonderful guests, as you're going to hear one coming up in a few minutes. But I have a special show coming on next week that I think is really important for one of our women has been in touch with me over this particular guest that she asked if I could ever get on here, and he was kind enough to agree to come on the show. His name is Dr. George Simon, and he's written two very good books that really have a lot to do with what we're always talking about on the show. One is called In Sheep's Clothing, Understanding and Dealing with Manipulative People, and the other one is called Character Disturbance, The Phenomenon of Our Age, or Character Disturbance. And this is a man who's really an expert. He's been on CNN and many shows talking about the manipulation of people and how we get involved with them, and is it totally innocent, or there's something lacking within us, and how to handle them once we get involved with them. Because many of us are overwhelmed and we don't know how to react, and we make things worse, make our situations worse. And so it's a really important show coming on next week. I'll be sending out my newsletter right before the show, just to remind people, and you can listen live or you can listen after the broadcast. So that's an important show. And once again, Dr. George Simon, and I think you'll find a lot of his work really enlightening. And so without further ado, I'm going to introduce my special guest and friend, Deborah Sutton, who's here to join me tonight. Deborah, thank you so much for coming back and joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Bonnie.
It's always a pleasure. You know, Deborah is an active member in our Straight Wives Club and a great support for women who need support along the way. She's also an author now, and she also has a separate blog. But Deborah now couldn't identify as being a straight wife, an author, and a blogger. How's that, Deborah?
Sounds good.
She's also a Southerner. She's also beautiful inside and outside. She's a model quality there.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Well, thank you, Deborah, because you've been such a big help to many of the women who are part of our network. And you're always there giving them uplifting words and really trying to support them along the way. So maybe you could tell people a little bit about your story in case they haven't heard you on here before.
Well, I was married 22 years, and my marriage was coming to an end, and I really had no idea why. And I wanted answers, but they weren't coming. And my husband, ex-husband now, at the time, he wanted out, and he wanted me out of our house. And so I was making arrangements to leave, and I finally did get on a plane and leave, leaving everything, even my clothes behind. He wanted me out so bad and fast. After 22 years, he's not giving me any answers, and I had to know why. But shortly after I arrived in Texas, I heard that he made sexual advances to a man that we know, and everything started falling into place in my mind, because I had found gay porn on the computer at one time, and he blamed me. He said I clicked on links and gave us a virus. This was in the computer history. And there was a lot of things that just started to finally make sense for me.
Mm-hmm. Through all those years, and 22 years is a lifetime practically to be married to someone, did the marriage start off in a strong position? I mean, did you really think this was something that was going to be wonderful? Or were there any red flags that you saw along the way?
There were red flags. Within 2 years of us being married, he had to do some blood work at his job, and they said his liver enzyme levels were high, that he needed to make an appointment with his own doctor. And so he did, and went and had some blood work done, and he came home and told me that he had hepatitis C. I had never heard of hepatitis C at this point. It was in the 90s. And then he said that first he accused me of giving it to him, and I got tested and didn't have it. And then, well, he told me that the doctor told him that a lot of gay men get hepatitis C. And, no, you don't have to be gay to get hepatitis C. But I think the doctor must have thought he was gay to tell him that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and early on, you know, he just, his sex drive was never, I mean, he never wanted sex that often in the early years. And then the last 10 to 12 years, there was no sex at all.
But, did you think that was unusual?
Well, I mean, he had to go on treatment for the hepatitis C, and he became really depressed. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I believed him. You know, when he's sick, he's on medication. You know, I bought all that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
as
you
many
know,
women
I,
do.
Yeah, telling myself, well, you know, this friendship is worth more than sex. You know, telling myself things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that
we had.
And I
think a lot of times we do make that compromise. I see that in many relationships where when women aren't getting sex, instead of feeling, oh, there's something wrong here, you know, something else starts kicking into place and you say, okay, so, you know, sex isn't everything. A lot of people don't have sex after they're together for a certain amount of time. But, you know, he loves me and we have the friendship and he can't help it because he's not feeling good. He's feeling depressed. He's sick, the medication. And they accept that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. But, like, in the marriage, there was always something wrong. You know, we just have to get through this next crisis. And then everything will be okay. And the next one, and the next one. And the crisis never ends.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes they create crises on their own just so that they don't have to deal with what's really going on.
Yes.
You know, I found that with some of these men, rather than confront the situation of, uh-oh, what am I going to do next? Another, you know, crisis is evolving. I know my ex was a lot like that. He was kind of like addicted to chaos, as I like to call it. And, you know, if there weren't problems, then he would make problems. You know, anything rather than have to confront the problems that we were really facing to try to throw me off track for the whole time.
Yes, and so the whole relationship became about him and his problems and his crisis. And, you know, there was nothing left for me, you know, in the relationship. It was all about him.
And that's another point, you know, I want to bring out, because a lot of women listen to this show, several thousand every month, and I do appreciate the listening, and we have some really loyal listeners who really depend on this show. Shout out to a couple of them, to you, Ruby, in Chicago. Thank you for listening and letting us know. But the thing is that women have to understand that not all gay husbands are the same, and gay husbands are not the same as gay people, and I don't want to confuse the issue. Because a lot of times people say, well, you're anti-gay. No, we're not. Most of us are very pro-gay. We're just anti-gay husbands living with straight wives. Because if gay people are authentic and living their lives, we're very pro-gay. And most of us were targeted as being good wives for that reason. So this is not about a gay issue. This is about living with someone who's not telling you the truth from the first time you get moment you get married throughout that marriage. And rather than taking responsibility, blaming you for the problems in the marriage. And we acknowledge how difficult it is for a man to live a lie, but I'm never going to say it's harder than the women who are living the lie with them. You know, a lot of times men tell me, well, you don't know my suffering. You know, I do know your suffering, but you're not acknowledging what your wife is going through daily, feeling that sexual rejection, emotional rejection, lack of affection, lack of emotional connection, and blaming herself. And was that you, Deborah?
Oh, yes. And there's still some, I mean, I don't know if this is true, but there's a part of me that thinks that he enjoyed me loving him and wanting him and the rejection and the put downs and all of it, I think he enjoyed it.
Well, that's because psychologically these guys are not happy being there to start with. You know, they're marrying you because they feel forced by society to have to get married. They know they're gay or they know they're attracted to men, and they feel that even though, and you know, we fall in love with them, and they think that they love us hard enough that maybe those feelings will pass. Well, those feelings don't pass, and we're still there. And there's nothing they can do about it because now they made the step to get married. And rather than just man up and tell the truth, you know, they'll stay in these marriages, they'll cheat on you, they'll do whatever they have to satisfy those needs, but they'll always feel that you're the person keeping them in prison. And that's why I know that many women feel the same way. Tell me their ex-husbands use that same word that mine used to use all the time, feeling trapped. You know, that was his big word, I feel trapped. Did yours say that too?
He didn't say he felt trapped, but I know that he did because he treated me so badly, especially at the end when I was trying to leave. You know, I was trying to leave as quickly as I could, and it wasn't quick enough for him. I know he felt trapped. And
they do feel trapped, you know, and they trap themselves by marrying us. I mean, the trap is the one that they set. And then when we fall into their trap, they feel trapped. And that's the irony of the whole thing. You know, we're really the ones who are trapped, but they're the ones who are feeling that we trapped them. And instead of that love and understanding, all of a sudden on their part, we're still loving and trying to understand them. But they're looking at us with resentment and hostility, and we still can't figure out why. Would you say that's pretty accurate?
Oh, yes. You know, my husband, ex-husband, had like 3 mental breakdowns with psychosis near the end of the marriage. And for one of them, I took him to the hospital, and we were in the emergency room. And he told the doctors that if they could just get rid of me and his mother, that he would be fine.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, he felt trapped.
Well,
and,
that's what he was telling them. You know, they'd only knew his side of the story.
Yeah.
Because it's very seldom that these guys make us out to be wonderful when they're talking to other people.
Oh,
you know,
that's
most
true.
Of the time they don't, right?
Yes.
So, after your marriage was over, did you have any further communication with him, or was it just over?
I did. When I first got here to Texas, we were still talking on the phone. And throughout this marriage, he was the, like, push me away, pull me back, push me away, pull me back over the years.
Uh-huh.
And I had left before one time for 6 months and ended up going back to him. But yeah, we were still talking. I didn't feel that he had any care for me whatsoever by this time, but, you know, when I heard that he had made sexual advances to this man that we know, I, you know, confronted him about that, and he denied it. And I continued to talk to him for 6 more months without bringing it up. I wanted him to tell me the truth.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't coming, and I brought it up again, and he wouldn't talk to me. He broke all contact with me when I brought it up again, and I haven't talked to him since.
Mm-hmm.
But,
so have you talked to him at all since?
I have, no. I talked to his mother a couple of at this incident when he was moving away to leaving our home in Florida and moving to Georgia, and he was packing up to leave from his mother's house, and I called there, and I wanted to talk to him, but he wouldn't come to the phone, but he told her to give me a message. He said for her to tell me that he knew he owed me a lot of amends, and I figured that's as close to an apology as I'll ever get.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't talked to him since, I guess, let's see, about 3.5 years.
Wow. And was there any problem with getting a divorce?
No. We filed before I left Florida, and I signed a waiver, and neither one of us even had to be in court for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just granted. We both signed waivers. It was a self, no contest divorce.
Mm-hmm. So that worked out okay, right?
Yeah, we didn't have any children.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that worked out fine.
Now, you had children, you know, previously, right?
Yes, I have. I raised five children in my first marriage, three that I had, but my first husband, his first wife died and when their kids were 4 and 5 years old, and I took those two and our three that we had together.
Uh-huh.
Raise them, and one of my stepdaughters has passed away.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Well, thank you.
So you were raising the children, and when you met him, were they younger?
They were the teenagers. They were teenagers, and I left Texas to go. I left Texas, and they didn't want to. They were mad at me at first for leaving, and they got over being mad at me, and we had visits over the years.
Mm-hmm. Did they ever like you or no?
What?
Did they ever like your new husband, your ex-husband?
I think they tolerated him. I don't think they were, like, crazy about him or anything. He wasn't really a step-parent to them. But by
the
time,
your children.
You know, yes. And my kids were starting lives of their own about the time, you know, within a couple of years of me leaving, and they were starting their families and having children, and so they would come and visit with the grandkids, and the grandkids liked him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was nice to the kids.
Did the kids have any idea? Did they tell you, look, Mom, I think there's something wrong there?
No. They never said it. Well, they always, you know, my son would say, why don't you come back home where you belong?
Uh-huh.
He would come to visit, like come for Christmas one time, and he said, Mom, why don't you get out of here and come back home where you belong? Or my daughters would come and they, you know, say, why don't you come back home? They never felt that I belonged there.
Uh-huh. But they didn't suspect anything was necessarily wrong with him, right?
They knew he drank and that he could be abusive.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they suspected that he was gay.
Mm-hmm. So
but
when
now,
you split up,
but now,
they were kind of happy, right?
Excuse me?
When the two of you split up, they must have been happy about that.
I think, yes, my son told me he was very happy to have me back here. And my daughters, as soon as I got here and landed, all my kids and grandkids were there to meet me and take me out to eat. And, you know, I live around them now and my grandkids. So we have,
mm-hmm.
like, I miss so many holidays and things with them, but I have all that now.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
And even though you were probably alienated from them, because a lot of times these men like to alienate you from your family and isolate you.
Well,
did you ever have that feeling?
I did, because I did have sisters around in Florida, and, you know, I was pretty isolated from them even. But
uh-huh.
my kids live far away, so, but he was transferred once to, he had a choice between coming to Corpus Christi, Texas, or going to North Carolina with this base closure and transferring, but he wouldn't dare choose Texas.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They feel better when they're not near people that you can have support from.
Yes.
Which is a very common sign when they're trying to hide something. They don't want others finding out their secret. And that by isolating you and moving with you, that's one way to do it. Did you have many friends during your marriage or no?
No. He had acquaintances, not real, like what I would call friendships. I mean, people he worked with or would stop at a bar after work and drink with, but no real friendships.
Mm-hmm.
We never got together with other couples or, no, it was just the two of us. He didn't even want to spend time with his own family during the holidays.
Mm-hmm. I seem to think that this is a pattern I see in many marriages, that women are moved away or swept away or alienated from their families because, you know, they're so afraid that somebody's going to be able to say something or say, wait a minute, this doesn't seem right. And many of them also don't have close male friends of the gay husbands that, you know, we've been working with. A lot of women will say, you know, they socialize with people at work, but it's not like they're going out with their buddies, or not like they're going to football games, you know, like guys socialize.
Yes. It's just, they were just people that worked at the base, too, that stopped for drinks, and he was there, too, you know, drinking with them, but nothing, you know, there was nothing like, you weren't getting together with their families and having barbecues or getting together with another couple or been doing anything.
Right. Did you think that was a little odd or no?
I didn't really even think about it at the time.
Uh-huh. I mean, I don't mean to say anything in any negative way with you, Deborah. I just want to see if you can confirm this. I mean, you're in Texas. That's where you grew up, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you grew up, I mean, you know, you're a few years younger than me. We talked about that. But we grew up in an age where people didn't really understand this stuff. And I think that you heard less about it, you know, in certain parts of the country. And maybe because, you know, culturally it is different in the South. You know, it's different than living in New York City. And it's different than living in San Francisco. You know, when you grow up, I find many women who are in the Texas region or in, you know, Arkansas, New Mexico, you know, they weren't growing up with a vibrant gay community around them when, you know, you were growing up. Am I right?
You're right. And the,
so even if you would have met some, when you heard the word gay, wouldn't you think it would be somebody who'd want to be with somebody of the same sex?
I did. And there was times it crossed my mind like a fleeting thought. But then I'd
right.
say, well, why would he have married me?
Exactly.
You know?
That's how I used
and he
to
did
think
have
so.
And he did have sex with me at one point. So,
right.
you know, well, how could he do that if he's gay?
That's what we didn't understand. And that's when I tell women, you know, you could look for all the red flags you want, but they weren't looking red back then. You know, maybe there was a flag, but it wasn't a red flag because we didn't even understand what this whole problem was about. So one of the things that, you know, it's like you put two and two together and come up with seven. If anything, I think a lot of women believe that their husbands may have been unfaithful to them because they were cheating with women. Because
yes.
why would they be cheating with a man if they're not gay?
Exactly. And this is what I looked for because my first husband, you know, he was never faithful. He was a womanizer. And so, I mean, if any of the signs I was looking for was signs of a woman, being with a woman, and I never saw that. So I thought he was a faithful husband.
Mm-hmm. I think we're very naive about a lot of things that have really come to the floor in the last 10 years. And so, really, since the invention of computers, things have really changed. For instance, the whole issue of transgender. I mean, that is not something I really ever heard about when I was growing up. I don't know about you, but I never knew from that. Did you?
One time when I was a little girl, my grandmother was taking me to the airport, and they were going to pick up her brother-in-law, and she said, I feel so sorry for Dave because he's a woman trapped in a man's body. And I didn't know what she meant.
Uh-huh.
You That was the first I'd heard of it. But no, I hadn't had a lot of exposure to that. You know,
I'll be honest with you, if I would have heard of, you know, that your grandmother say that, I would have then thought, well, that person must be gay. I still never even heard the terminology transgender. I mean, I didn't even know what that was until the last couple of years.
I have a niece that's about 20 years old, and or in her 20s, and ever since she was a little girl, she wanted to be a boy, and she wouldn't wear girls' clothes, and that was my first real experience seeing, you know, getting to see that. I mean, but I can see, I mean, she was like this at 2. She wouldn't wear girls' panties. She wanted to wear her brother's. She wanted to stand a pee. So I could see this was something she was born with.
Mm-hmm. Right. People don't get taught that behavior, and they're not socialized to that behavior. You know, it is something within them, but I still would have thought up until a couple of years ago that if I would have seen that behavior, I would have thought, well, that person's gay.
Well,
I didn't even know there was such a thing like transgender back then.
Yes, and she's lived, you know, and had relationships with women. So, yes, people would look at her and say, she's gay. She's a lesbian.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's a whole other category. I guess the point I'm bringing up is that, you know, when you grow up and you don't know because there's something that hasn't yet been really addressed or discussed, you know, how would we know? There would just be no way. I mean, maybe today people are more informed, but I still say to women who are younger and who come to me, even though you may have understood what a gay is, you wouldn't think that a gay person would be marrying you. You know, so I can understand why you're feeling like this. So you shouldn't feel bad if you make a decision based on having not the whole complete information. And that's the point I want to get across. And no woman has to sit there blaming herself, why didn't I see this? Because why would we be looking for it to start with?
Yeah, I've gone through that blaming, like I should have saw, where was I, why wasn't I aware? I think I should have been more aware than what I was.
I don't know. I don't think that I really would have understood it. I still would have felt that even if my ex-husband tried something and even if I caught him with somebody, he tried it, he didn't like it, and he wants to be with me. I mean, that may sound stupid, but that's how I would have felt.
Yes.
And I'm not so sure that I would feel differently now, you know, now that I'm older. I mean, I understand it, so I know that it can't happen. But let's say if I didn't have my life experience and some guy came to me and he told me, well, he had a couple of, you know, experiences in the past, but he was just experimenting and it's over, you know, I would have just assumed, well, maybe it's over. I wouldn't think, well,
I
forget to stay away from him like I do now because I know the reality of it.
That's what I was going to say. I might have thought that at one time, but I don't think that anymore.
You could fool you back then, but you couldn't fool you now?
No.
Is that what you're trying to say, Deb?
Yes, yes. I hope.
You've come a long way, baby. It's going to be hard to fool you this time.
I hope
we know all the little tricks to check it out now through our Straight Wives Club. We've been able to be successful in really getting some good hints along the way. We have some wonderful women who are part of our network, and they're always out there actively telling us all kinds of wonderful things to keep women alerted. So you're right. Probably we wouldn't get fooled again.
The women did an interesting little poll today. How many women were, like, their husbands admitted and confessed, and how many denied, and most of us, our husbands denied, and we never got a confession.
Mm-hmm.
And we struggle. You know, the ones that never got a confession, we struggle.
But guess what? The ones who got the confession, they were struggling too, and probably even harder, because they didn't understand gay either. And they thought, if I'm a better wife, then I can beat it. And that's kind of where I was. You know, when I thought this is what the case was with my ex-husband, when I first found out something, I said, you know what? Instead of making it like this is how he is, I made it my fault. That I must have done something wrong to push him to do something like that. And so I started trying to be a better wife. What could I do better? How could I make him happier? You know, not externalizing it, internalizing it. And I think that's even worse because, you know, you have this false hope that maybe if you do something differently, it's going to get better. But it doesn't. It can't.
And then you know, the women whose husband tells them that they're bisexual, that's false hope.
And the women, like I said, I can understand their confusion. And that's why, personally, I don't like using terminology when it comes to this. Because, as I say, there are so many different labels that men call themselves, from asexual to bisexual, confused sexual, pansexual, metrosexual. And I just say, call them penis men. And that gives you, like, a very broad area. Like, if you think about a penis, if you fantasize about it, if you touch it, if you have it, if you want it, call yourself a penis man, and then women can make a decision. Yes, he's a guy. He likes penises. Do I want to be with that guy or not? Because it's easier than dealing with the term bisexual, which really kind of implies you have a choice, and that if you work even harder and harder and harder, that man's going to want you instead of wanting another man, right?
Yes. So, you know, they get caught in that too, like, but shouldn't he want you and desire you as much as he does a man? He's bisexual.
Well, that's what you think, and if you try harder. Or women think, well, he's willing to give up everything just for having sex. You know, they don't understand that gay is not just about sex. I mean, to some men it is, but for the majority of them, you know, they want with us what we want with them. They want that same excitement and the passion, everything that we've dreamt of with them that we've never gotten. This is what they want to have, too, but not with us.
And it's an emotional connection that they don't have with, they can't have with their wives. You know, they connect on an emotional level to men.
Mm-hmm.
The way we do.
They connect more to us like girlfriends or sisters.
Yes.
You know, and that's what I tell women. It's not the same kind of relationship as being with a heterosexual man. And women really discover this once they're out of these marriages and they go with this, you know, heterosexual man. They say to me, you were so right. You know, the whole experience is so different. You know, it's really interesting. A couple of weeks ago on the show, I had, you know, newer author, Tara Helscott. I don't know if you had a chance to hear her.
I did.
She wrote a book called Looking for Mr. Straight, and she's going to be coming on, you know, the week of Thanksgiving because we didn't get to really go over a lot of her book. But she's, you know, younger than us. You know, she's a, you know, girl in Manhattan in a big town in her 30s. And I was just curious, you know, how people today are handling it, if it's different than when you and I were, you know, growing up and didn't know things. And she has some really good information in her book called Looking for Mr. Straight. And she gives a whole bunch of tips and quizzes and stuff. But it's like, even today, all these years later, you know, people are doing the same thing. You know, they don't have to be gay. They can call themselves straight. But, you know, they follow like a Kinsey scale. I'm like a number 2. I'm mostly straight, but once in a while I have a gay foot. Or they'll be on the 4th rung. Well, I'm pretty half and half. I could go either way. No, I tell women, you can't call yourself bisexual if... Bisexual to me would mean that if I am truly interested in men and women, and I pick the woman, I should be able to stay with that woman and not have to run after men.
Yes.
Then I would say, okay, you can be bisexual. Because bisexual to me means that you can truly be happy either way. But they're not.
Yes.
These men are gay because they emotionally need their women, but sexually they're not having them. They're having men.
Yes.
Have you found that to be your experience?
Yes, I agree with that, what you're saying. I mean, if they're bisexual, they could be happy with a man or a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, but they're not. They're still chasing men.
They still want the penis. And that's the problem. So that's why I don't care what they call it. It still is the common denominator. And as I always say, once you cross the penis line, you know, you just don't come back. You know, today I had a woman who wrote to me, and she was really depressed and despondent. And she said, you know, you told me before that, you know, if he's involved in doing sexual acts with men, that he's not going to stop doing it. You know, can you be sure that's going to happen? Well, you know, there's no 100% guarantee, but I'd go on 99% guarantee. It's going to happen again. And I explained to her, it's not like a water faucet where you have a dripping, leaky water faucet, and if you turn it off, it's going to stop. And it's not going to come back on again until you put it on full force. It just doesn't work that way. It's not like you can be a perfect husband for 93% of the time, and the other 7% of the time you're going to have some indiscretions with men, and you're not going to let it interfere with your lives, your life. Do you agree with that?
Well, it's going to touch your life and interfere with your life. And, you know, it's going to be a very painful life for the wife. I mean, the man seems to have his cake and eat it, too. He's got the wife
right.
at home taking care of the house and kids and taking care of him, but he's out there. The wife is getting no sex, and he's out there having sex with men.
And let's just clarify that, too, Deborah, because from your experiences in working with our women and mine, please don't tell me that you know where your husband is 24/7 and there's no way that he could possibly be doing anything.
If they have time to go to the store for a pack of cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
they have time.
That's all it takes. 30 seconds and they're done.
Because
and
they're meeting
women
up.
They should read that book by Jim McGreevy, the governor of New Jersey, you know, which was the best book out because he told everything. He talked about how he went to dumpsters in the back of synagogues, James McGreevy, and he was having sex there. You know, it's just amazing how he's on a speaking tour and he goes to the back and has sex. So if the governor of New Jersey could do it, what makes you think that your husband wouldn't do it, right?
Yes, and I've heard that too. Well, my husband's with me. You know, he doesn't have time. You know, we're together like 24/7. Well, you're not together 24/7. I mean, he does leave your sight sometimes.
Even if you're out in a restaurant, you know, they have that application on their phones, Grindr. Are you familiar
yes.
with that? And
yes.
so they download the Grindr, because we tried this at one of our healing weekends in Texas. And a wonderful member of our group, Jennifer, did this for us. And Jen downloaded the Grindr, and we put out a message that we're a guy who's married, who's in town for the night, looking for a hot pickup. You know, we used all the right lingo. Looking for somebody else who's safe and, you know, drug and disease free and married, who would like to just have, you know, a romp. And within 6 minutes, I would say 5 to 7 guys responded that
yeah,
they're in the neighborhood waiting.
It's
so simple. All you have to do is, you know, while you're doing that, then go to the bathroom and the guy's going to meet you in the bathroom.
Yeah,
you know, I had
and
a guest on.
I'm sorry, I didn't know about
no,
any of this. I didn't know about this until the end of my marriage when I started looking into all this. And
mm-hmm.
my husband used to go, you know, he used to take off on the weekends while I was still sleeping and come back and say he was at Lowe's or Home Depot. And then I'm like, oh, my gosh, he spent all this time and all the time going to Lowe's and Home Depot, you know. That's one
mm-hmm.
of their main hookup places.
It certainly is. That's where men do hook up, it's at Home Depot. And, you know, it just could be anywhere. It could be, I had a young lady on our show a few weeks, you know, like 2 months ago, who was the adult daughter of a gay man. And her father used to use her as a cover when she was a little girl and take her to Macy's and tell her to stay in the car, he'll be right back, and he would meet somebody in the dressing room there and do something. So any woman who's so naive to think that she's with her husband 24/7, you're not with him when you're eating in the restaurant and he says, I have to go to the bathroom. You're not with him in that bathroom stall, but somebody else could very well be.
Exactly.
And that's what women have
you're
to wake up to.
You're still sitting at the table having your dinner. He's off
mm-hmm.
in the bathroom having sex.
So figure that one out. But it happens all the time, and that's why women need to be aware that this kind of behavior does go on. And so that's why I really differentiate, you know, somebody who's honest and who's gay and who's having a good relationship with another man, I think it's the greatest thing. I'm very pro-gay marriage. I hope they can all get married to each other instead of having to marry us. You know, I know that is silly to compare the two because it's not really a comparable situation. Women say, well, if gay people had rights, they wouldn't have to marry women. No, that's not true, because there will always be men who don't want to be gay and who always hope that if they can marry somebody and love them enough, that those feelings will go away. I mean, that's how they go into these marriages. There are very few that I know that were just like trickery. Oh, I'm going to trick this woman. Most of these men honestly are hoping against hope that they love this woman enough. It's going to cure all the problems that they're having as far as their attractions for men. But it's
not going to go away.
No, there's no miracle in the world for this. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news when women come to me and they say, well, can't you give me any hope? And I say, absolutely not. I never want a woman to come back to me and say, well, you know, you should have been honest with me and told me. Right?
Yes. I have Christian beliefs, but I just don't think that this can be prayed away. I mean, I haven't seen it. You know, and I do believe in God.
I haven't seen it either. And, you know, I really feel bad for my Christian women because I know they go into these marriages making a vow to God. You know, I'm not a Christian, so I don't haven't experienced it, but I have so many wonderful women in our support network who are Christians and who really take those vows seriously. And that's why I wrote that article for the last newsletter. You don't have to take it seriously. Because when a vow is made and the whole truth isn't given, then it's kind of fraudulent to start with, right?
Yes, and I don't think God would expect us, any of us women, to stay in a marriage like that, because it's not even a marriage.
Right. So what if, you know, I don't even get why they feel they need to stay. But some of them come from bad counseling, bad ministries that give them bad advice. Do the women that you work with struggle with that, Deborah, with their religion?
I'm not really involved in church right now and haven't been in some time. You know, I still have Christian beliefs. I do see women struggle with it. Have seen women struggle with it even in the group.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I struggled with it too, with divorce. You know, I didn't want to be divorced twice. You know, I did everything I could to make this second marriage work, even work talk real hard because I'd already had one failed marriage. I didn't know during the marriage he's gay, but if I would have found that out, I would have left. I would have got out of the marriage.
If you would have found out, would you have thought, well, he can't be gay, maybe he's bisexual, would you have thought that?
Bunny, I don't think I could, I would have any desire for a man if I had known. Like, if I knew he was sleeping with men, I think that would have
bothered me. That would put a damper on it for me, for sure.
Yes, I think that would have done it.
I think it would just be hard for me to accept, and I'm really liberal, and I don't judge what people do. If people can live with this, that's fine. You know, I make no judgment, you know, on how people need to live. I just make a judgment on do what you want to do to make yourself happy, that you can't please somebody else and make yourself happy by doing it.
Yeah.
I know many women who are part of our network who have certainly tried to compromise who they are to try to please their husbands. You know, they've done things sexually that they would never want to do, or, you know, agreed to do things just to try to keep the marriage together because their husbands tell them, well, if you do this and you do that, that will satisfy me. And even though it goes against their moral fiber, you know, what they went into the marriage with, and their desperation to hang on to it, they're willing to try anything. And I say that if you have to do something that's against what you are or against how you feel, then don't stay with it and don't do it.
I feel the same. Yes.
It would be kind of like just too difficult for me. And I don't, once again, judge. You know, there are women who live with cross-dressers. And they say that these cross-dressers are straight, which could very well be. But it doesn't mean that I could live with it. And it's not saying that there's anything wrong with women who live with it. It's just I know for myself, I don't want to have to share clothes on a regular basis with my husband, right?
You're so funny.
Well, I don't. And it can be when you think about it. But there was a whole trip of women who went out on this cruise a few years ago. I don't know if you know, you remember hearing about this. There were 200 women who were married to cross-dressers, so they all took a cruise together. And all the men were comfortable dressing up, and their wives were all just, you know, sitting there, and they were comfortable, too. And if you can do this and you feel comfortable with it, I think that's great. I can't. It's just something within me. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's wrong for me.
Right.
And I don't think any woman should have to feel like, you know, if you say it's wrong, that there's something wrong with you. Like people will say, well, you're not liberal enough or you don't understand him. Or if you love somebody enough, those things shouldn't matter. Well, guess what? They matter to me. You know, I think that you have to put all these hidden agendas up front before you make decisions about them. You know, like maybe if I knew that this man likes cross-dressing and be, you know, doing this on a regular basis, and I had a choice, do I want to live with him or not, I might have made, like you said, a different decision.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to have to come home to a husband who's wearing a negligee or who's wearing...
We weren't given that choice.
Exactly.
So, and that's what bothers me. I wasn't given a choice.
Well, the other problem is that even if I had been given a choice, not understanding homosexuality, I probably would have gone with it anyway. Because I still believed in my heart that you try something, you don't like it, you leave it. You want to marry me? It means you must like me better. So I'm going to just skip the past and move into the future with you. That's how I used to feel. Not anymore. I would never be fooled by that kind of, you know, behavior anymore. You know, certainly with homosexuality, it's not a choice. People are who they are, you know. I always tell men, you don't choose homosexuality, it chooses you. But then you have to, you know, make sure that you deal with that correctly instead of thinking, well, maybe it's going to change. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe I can't make any quick decisions. And I tell women, you don't have to make a quick decision. But you can't go through your life with blinders on. You have to take the blinders off and see what you're really dealing with. And then you have a better chance of making a decision that will save you, possibly future generations, and also possibly your health, because about 20% of our women do have STDs. And I'll never understand.
That's sad that you weren't the women weren't even considered in that, you know, like protection for the women, or the men didn't use protection when they were out there and they brought this home to their wives.
Well, I think that's deplorable. I don't think you have a right to do that to a woman. That's like, you know, taking a gun and playing Russian roulette with her, seeing which bullet's going to hit her. Because we do have women in our network who have been in that situation, who do get sexually transmitted diseases. And then when they find out it's from their gay husbands, you know, they still continue having relations with him, unprotected. And when I say to them, why? Why are you shooting yourself in the foot? You just have to explain this to me. Well, I don't want him to think that I don't trust him. Well, you trusted him to start with, and look what he did. Why would you think he'd be different this time around? Am I right?
You're right.
I mean, once is enough. You know, you get one chance, and, you know, you think that it's going to happen again. It's not. You know, that's why I say it's just such a tricky situation for women who don't understand this whole thing. But thankfully, thanks to your book, this is one way of understanding signs of the gay husband, identifying closeted gay husband behaviors. And this book is available on Amazon in either a hardback or softback book or as an e-book. And this is a beautiful book that Deborah has written. And if you go to Amazon and just type in Deborah Sutton, D-E-B-R-A, and then Sutton, S-U-T-T-O-N, you'll see her book come up. And in Deborah's book, you know, she writes about a lot of issues that we always talk on here, you know, and discuss. And thank you so much for dedicating this book to me, too. I really appreciate it, Deb.
I don't know what I would have done without you. You really brought me out of a dark place into the light.
Well, thank you very much. That's what I try to do for women. But here you have, you know, some of the things that are in your book, 40 Signs of a Gay Husband, He's Just Not That Into You, Rape, Anger, and Resentment, Is He Gaslighting You, which I call it gaylighting you, Closeted Gay Narcissism, Depression, Alcohol, and Medication. A lot of our ex-husbands or husbands medicate themselves so they don't have to deal with the whole thing. And so we have not only the problem of gay, we also have now the alcoholism or drug addiction.
And then some of the wives, and I was one of them, we start medicating ourselves too.
Absolutely. How many of our women are on antidepressants, which really angers me more than anything? I always say to women, if you have to take medication to numb yourself to live with somebody, that has to tell you there's a problem. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Well, yes. That's a red flag.
Mm-hmm. That's not what marriage is supposed to be about. You know, so often I have to talk to people about defining what is marriage supposed to be about. It's not about hardship. I mean, hardships do come up, but not every day. You know, marriage is building, growing compassion. You know, it's intimacy, it's touching, it's healing, it's laughing together. You know, it's being there for each other. And yes, problems will come up and you'll be there for each other, but it can't be a daily struggle and daily tug of war of me against you and you knocking me down all the time. That's not what we call a marriage. That's called a relationship of codependency. But I think a lot of our women become codependent because when you're picked apart and peeled apart a piece at a time, and that's what happens for many women, you start losing who you are. And I know that happened to me, and it didn't take long for it to happen, and I was a strong woman going into a marriage. And so if it could happen to me in a short amount of time, just think about how it happens to women like you, who stayed in a marriage for 22 years. I mean, 22 years of deterioration of self-esteem. That takes a big toll, right?
It does. A very big, huge toll. And it feels like you're broken, but you're not. You can recover and get back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, you know, the hope that Deborah gives everyone. Deborah has letters in her book from other women who are part of the other women in our support network, you know, who are also there to support each other. And I think their insight is just so helpful in women when they're just starting off and they need resources. So this is an excellent book to get to confirm what you already know, Signs of the Gay Husband, Identifying Closeted Gay Husband Behaviors. And once again, you can look on Amazon. Is it at Barnes & Noble, too, Deb, or just Amazon?
I think somebody ordered it from Barnes & Noble. I don't know how Amazon, you know, who all they distribute to.
Yeah, they probably do Barnes & Noble, I think, also. But, you know, just check out the book on Amazon, and it may be on Barnes & Noble. Go to Deborah Sutton, and you'll find this beautiful little book that will, once you start reading it, you won't want to stop because so much good information. So, Deborah, I just want to say thank you so much for coming back to be the guest of the night, which I'll keep imposing on you every quarter. You're going to keep coming back here. I'm going to track you down because women always learn so much from you. And you know that I love you with your beautiful spirit and your beautiful soul, and I thank you so much for being part of this network and helping so many other women as well.
And I love you too, Bonnie.
Thank you, and love to all of our women, all of our Straight Wives Club women. And if you need support anywhere in this world, just write to me at bonk@aol.com, and we will hook you up. So have a wonderful week, and on behalf of Straight Wives Club and Bonnie Kay. Good night. Good night, Deborah. I love you.
Good night, Bonnie. Love you, too.
All right. Bye-bye.